Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. We have NBA buckets tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Greek Freak in town tonight. Bucks take on Otto Porter and the Bulls on Authentic Fan Night. Bulls pregame live tips off our coverage at 6:30. Then game time, 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. Meanwhile, basketball and hockey season continue, and baseball season has arrived. Cubs and White Sox begin to filter into Arizona. Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. And there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. Can Yu Darvish stay healthy in 19? Can Kyle Schwarber and his teammates improve on a bad ending to 18? As for the White Sox, is this the week they finally get word from Manny Machado? Sports Talk Live kicks off a week in Arizona at Sloan Park in Mesa. Spring training, home of the Cubs. The show starts right now. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live from the Valley of the Sun. Everything brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. To my left, I've got our Chuck Garfine, venturing over. He'll be here all through spring training over in Glendale with the White Sox. We have David Schuster from the Score Sports Radio 670 and Tony Andracki, who's our Cubs insider at NBC Sports Chicago. All right, baseball is back. Pitchers and catchers have been filtering in over the last week or so. Some already getting throwing sessions in. They will officially report tomorrow, and then Wednesday go through workouts, full squad in on Monday. Pretty incredible that we're already back to baseball.
We are. It's almost here, and yet Machado and Harper are not signed. And it's
crazy.
It's the thing that's kind of overshadowing all of this, certainly in Glendale. And actually, I was over there earlier today, and it was kind of funny because you saw Alonso and Jay's lockers, and there's an empty locker right next to them. They're just saving it just in case they can sign Machado. I think that's what's going on there.
I'm psyched for baseball, obviously. Beautiful ballpark behind us here at Sloan Park. No fans, of course, here right now, but it's a beautiful ballpark. The weather is better than I was told it was going to be. And, baseball season starts for me today.
And the Cubs come off an offseason, Tony, where the negatives keep piling up. Well, they didn't sign Machado or Harper. And then you had the Joe Ricketts controversy. And then you had the Addison Russell still on the team controversy. Just one thing after another.
Yeah, I mean, there are more question marks now than there was when the season ended, which is seems crazy to think, but all these questions have to be answered. All of them obviously will not be answered here in camp, but I think this is obviously going to be a very, very big year for the Cubs.
You know, I don't think anybody expected all of the negativity that they would have to deal with. There was a big story that Ricketts didn't speak at the convention. You just keep adding one thing on top of another. People forget it's a 95-win team they're bringing back.
Well, first of all, Cap, if this team starts out like they did the year they won the World Series, all that controversy is going to be pretty much forgotten because that's just the way it is. If you win, you know, some of those things just sort of disintegrate. There's a lot of ifs going into the season. And it starts, obviously, with Yu Darvish. And I understand he's very confident at this juncture. Not that that really makes that much of a difference to me. But if he's confident after his first outing, you know, in April, then I'll be excited as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're almost a year to the day that Yu Darvish came here, had his introductory press conference. He was very confident then. Obviously, that didn't end up well, you know, then. But they have to figure this all out. John Lester's a year older. Cole Hamels, yeah, he's here for a full season. He's a year older. I mean, can Chris Bryant come back healthy? All these questions on top of everything that's off the field that you just mentioned, Kat.
No, it's interesting. Everyone wants to know on the South side, is Manny Machado coming to the White Sox? I don't think that they're feeling like they're still in on Bryce Harper. Maybe they are, but I feel like Manny Machado is where they've pushed all their chips. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it is. We were talking before we went on the air, this Giants and Harper connection seem like that's where this end game is to me, where I'm sitting right now. This is a Giant. I mean, I know I kind of changed the subject. I'll get to Machado in a second, but it seems like the Giants, they don't want to rebuild. They want big ticket items coming their way. It's a West Coast team. You can train in Arizona. I think the Giants on a 4-year, 5-year deal for the most money yearly in the history of the game. I think that's how that ends up. For Machado, I just feel like sometime around position players reporting and the first game, between that time, that's going to be the come to Jesus moment for Manny Machado when he has to decide, okay, this is where I'm going. And I think it's still, I keep bringing up Jay and Alonzo. It's going to come down to money, obviously, but they're going to, Jay and his brother-in-law and his best friend are going to be here or over down the valley in Glendale, and I think that's going to help maybe get Machado over to the White
baby
Sox.
Booties we saw with the 17 of Yonder Alonzo.
You have to know, if you're Manny Machado, okay, and you're going to post something with a White Sox symbol on it, you're going to put that out there now? Now?
That's like Bryce Harper level trolling.
Yeah, like, what are you doing that now?
But then the other day, he goes to Albert Almora's child's baptism, and the picture is Machado, Almora, and Schwarber was there.
He just took a picture with them. It was a baptism. That's one thing. But you are literally going, okay, I'm just going to take a picture with a Sox emblem on it and put that out there in the world.
This is Kyle Schwarber on the baptism that he attended for Albert Almora's new baby.
No, not at all. Just a bunch of people there celebrating Antonio's baptism. That'd be really cool. You know, I mean, the for Chicago in general to get a player of that caliber. If he goes to the South Side, that's going to bring a lot of excitement to the fans of Chicago, and I'm sure make that rivalry even better.
All right, there you go. So that leads us to our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Will Manny Machado sign this week? And if he signs, will that be with the White Sox or somebody else? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and weigh in. We'll have the results tabulate right there on your screen. What do you think? Where does he go?
I think he's going to Philadelphia, actually.
Bovada came out with their latest odds. Not that those mean anything. The Yankees are a 1-2 pick. The White Sox are 5-1. They're one of the five teams listed.
Changes every time we wake up every morning.
It's unbelievable. Different.
Yeah, that's why I have no idea. But the Phillies, I think, are going to sign one of these guys if they miss out on Harper because he goes to San Francisco. Maybe it's Machado they get.
I just keep going back to the fact that they don't want to play in Philadelphia. I don't think Harper wants to play there. I don't think Machado wants to play there because they have the stupid money. Why haven't they signed for stupid money
Tom
yet?
Producer Tom Cooper didn't want to live in Philadelphia. He moved to Chicago.
You know, Chuck said it's a come-to-Jesus moment. It's actually come-to-your-accountant's moment, and I think that's what ultimately is going to happen. I think whoever offers Machado the most money, and I still think it's going to be the White Sox by a smidge, I think he's going to be a White Sox player in the very near future.
It certainly has that vibe that they are going to write the check. They are going to put their money where their mouth is. Everyone has always said, well, they've never spent big on any player, $68 million to Jose Abreu. I just feel like Jerry is going to quiet that narrative, and they're going to get the money and get it done.
One thing you said, yes, they've only spent $68 million. They've offered over $100 million to certain free agents in the past, but they just did not end up signing. So it's not like they haven't been willing to go more than $68 million. Mm-hmm. But
that's what it was.
That's what it was, and that's true. That's true. The Yankees, there's still that factor out there. You can't discount that. I say it's still between the White Sox and the Yankees, even though there's been no sign that the Yankees are going to, make this offer, even though there was a report out there that was bogus. If they would have made that offer, Manny Machado's signing on the dotted line, and this is done.
Well, it was interesting. Today, they asked one of the Yankees front office people, where do you see DJ LeMahieu? He said, he's going to back up over at second, back up at first, and be a backup for Andujar, a late-inning replacement defensively at third. And I'm like, hold on a second. He's not a starter?
And he's making $12, $13 million
Correct.
A year.
So you're telling me he's not a starter, according to the Yankee front office.
So you're saying because of that they're making room for Machado?
Wouldn't you say, he's pretty much our second baseman?
that kind
of money.
That's the implication when you're saying he's going to be the backup all over and Machado is still out there. That's sort of implying that Machado's coming here eventually. I still think he's coming to the White Sox.
I'm just exhausted. Can I just lie here and just, I'm done.
It's so old. It's so old.
It was old December 20th. What's the date? Okay, here at spring training. We're still talking about this.
Uber black car tonight. He's in a black car. He's going to the White Sox. I mean, it's like everything he does.
Well, he's trolling everybody, obviously. He followed the Yes Network for a while back on Twitter, so people thought that because of that he's going to the Yankees, the booties today. It's just he's trolling everybody. He's having fun with it.
You might as well if you're going to be, pitchers and catchers report and you still have no idea if you're in Arizona, in Florida for spring training, who your teammates are. You might as well have fun with it right now.
All right, so let's get back to the team that plays right here, the Chicago Cubs. Do you believe this negative offseason will have carryover effect into the 2019 season, or nobody will care if they start winning games?
Yeah, nobody will care if they start winning games. I mean, fans will forget about it all, but obviously the players have to go out and put up numbers or start, like you mentioned, 2016. I mean, they're not going to win 21 out of 25 games. Dexter Fowler's not walking into spring training like he was a couple years ago. But yeah, wins silence everything, and everybody will forget what this offseason was like with a few wins to start the season.
You know, Cap, you talked about the starting pitching, and I think you implied that there's some ifs there. Obviously, Lester's 1 year older. Hamels is 1 year older. Darvish coming off the one win for $21 million. Good gig if you can get it. But you know what? If these guys all perform the way everybody hopes they perform, this is a heck of a pitching staff.
Correct.
I mean, Hendricks is in there also. Their first four pitchers, as long as they stay healthy, and Darvish is the key here, this is a really strong pitching staff, and that will be the key to the Cubs.
Yeah, I think the problem for the Cubs this offseason is just it's been noise, and you don't have any games in the offseason to change any of that noise,
correct,
change the narrative. So it's this bad news, this bad news. The only good news that I've seen is that Darvish appears to be healthy,
right,
and might be in a good position, good place mentally and physically to have a good season. So I think that's, if you're a Cubs fan, you're thinking, at least we got that to hold on to. And yeah, they won 95 games last year.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. You went into the offseason, everyone was devastated how it ended. They won 95 games, and Chris Bryant, what, missed 70?
Yeah,
so
missed.
You have some opportunities here to have a pretty good
season. How much
are
you concerned about the bullpen, though?
The bullpen's a big question mark for me, because the quickest way to short-circuit a season is to get really good starting pitching for six innings, and then the bullpen blows it in April, and you go, well, if we had our closer, and all of a sudden you look up and you go, we're 4.5, 5 games out. I don't think you can do that this year in this division. It's the best division in baseball.
Everyone's been talking, Bryce Harper to the Cubs, Bryce Harper to the Cubs. The guy you need is Craig Kimbrell. If I was to spend money, if I'm the Cubs, it's on Craig Kimbrell. Get a lockdown closer.
Yeah, I don't pay closers that kind of money.
I pay him that.
He's never done that. I don't see him doing that now.
I know he's not going to do it. I'm just saying, like, you're looking at the team needs. What does this team need the most?
For me,
yeah,
it's to put Bryce Harper in right field.
Not happening.
Or put Manny Machado at third.
Not
and
happening.
Put Chris Bryant in the outfield.
That might happen.
And that might happen, but the other part won't happen.
That's right.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We're live all week long in Arizona, but we've got to talk some hockey. Blackhawks just keep winning. All of a sudden, they are chasing a playoff berth. Plus, big, big NFL news. Two big stories. We'll get to those all coming up next. Be right back.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
You could win two sweet tickets to a game and one Jeremy Roenick autographed jersey. Be pretty cool. Register for your power play number at NBCSportsChicago.com/CoorsLightPowerPlay and listen for the announcement of the winning number during the third period of tomorrow night's game against the Bruins. Speaking of hockey, Blackhawks have been playing very well lately. They won 7 straight after yesterday's win over the Dead Wings, and the stat of the day driven by the Chevy Silverado shows us why. These are the NHL scoring leaders since January 20th. Top 4 players are all Blackhawks. Kane, Taves, DeBrincat, and Strome. Blackhawks playing exceptionally good hockey, Chuck Garfine.
They are. You know, I give them credit for turning this around. You figured they were going to be in line for the number 1 or number 2 pick in the NHL draft. Now we're talking playoffs.
Right, I was always saying lose for Hughes, for Jack Hughes.
I love the idea. They could use a Jack Hughes, but you know what? They still have this nucleus of getting good goaltending, and Kane is having one of his best years of his career.
I'm liking on pace for 118 points.
Amazing. Yeah,
you know, the building was really alive yesterday. I was there before coming here today, and you know, it was not the top line, although Patrick Kane did get a goal and an assist. It was the second line. The defense is playing better. The goaltending, as you mentioned, has been really good. And I guess one of our goaltenders made some money today.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty amazing to see exactly what's going on with this team, because they were dead and buried just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they had a week where, you know, they haven't lost in 2 weeks. Their playoff odds are still only 14%. I mean, they've only climbed 5% from a week ago that was at 9. So, I mean, not to be a downer, but this still looks like they're competing against four or five other teams for that last spot. Playoffs are still a little bit of a long shot, even as good as they've been.
But if they keep playing the way they're playing, of course, that's a big if, of course. But right now, they're just beating teams sort of handily at
this point. John McDonough famously said this is a playoff team.
Correct.
And for a while there, it's looking like, no, this is not a playoff team. And the way they have been beating teams and winning, great in the power play, Crawford.
Back at practice today.
I mean,
and he was actually on the ice the other day, and they said he was facing shots and looked sharp, like ready to go.
Yeah, so I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think that's the way that they have kind of been brought together under a new coach who I think
he deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot. You're going to take over for a legend, and your team's not very good.
No practice camp.
None.
And you're 34 years old?
Right. And you've rallied the troops, and they're actually a relevant hockey team. Surprised?
No, not when I see Patrick Kane playing the way he is. I still think if he's not the best player in hockey, he's in the top three or four. He's so exciting to watch, and Jonathan Toews is obviously having a great season himself. And no, I'm not surprised, to be honest with you.
So what do you do if your phone rings, trade deadline's coming up?
I'm not doing it.
And somebody says, hey, we're going to give you a first-round pick. First-round pick, we want Duncan Keith. Or first-round pick, we want Seabrook. Or first-round pick, we want whoever it is other than Kane and Toews. What do you do?
All right, I'll make that trade. As long as it's not Kane or Toews.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I was being a downer before, but really, I mean, they like the coach. They're very promising what he's done, so carry it over to next year without the slow start. See what they have. I mean, this is already a playoff contending team, even if they'll make it or not. Chuck thinks they will, but I mean, you got to keep with this core, with this nucleus for next year. So I don't think you trade those big guys that you're talking about.
I mean, what are you going to get for Seabrook? Could you really trade him?
Well, his contract. His contract itself is not going to allow
him to get the books. Oh, my God. You could drop Artemi Panarin into the lineup next year. That would be sweet. Okay. All right, let's move on to football. There was big news today. Kareem Hunt, who everyone had speculated would sign with the Bears because of his relationship with Bears head coach Matt Nagy, instead decides to go to the GM who once drafted him in Kansas City. John Dorsey, now running the Cleveland Browns, announced today they had signed Kareem Hunt to a deal. He is on the commissioner's exempt list. He's facing a lengthy suspension, but he has been going through therapy. Are you glad that the Bears did not sign him?
For now, they didn't sign him. The deal, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is 1 year in Cleveland, and he might be suspended for at least half the season. So he might play 8 games or whatever in Cleveland and then become a free agent if he keeps his nose clean. And listen, he could still be a Bear somewhere down the road.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming to the Bears. I guess I have no idea what's going to happen in Cleveland, but it was a weird move from them. I mean, they have Nick Chubb. They really like him at running back. A rookie last year looks very promising, so why go out and do this? Get this off-field move from the Browns' perspective? It's questionable. I don't get it.
He's a great player.
My guess is it's Dorsey's relationship with Kareem Hunt, throwing him a lifeline. If there's one person who could do it and understands him and is willing to take the risk.
Would you have done it if you ran the Bears?
No.
You would not.
I would not. Well, the other part of it is this. How many games is he going to play for? So you're going to take on all that
baggage,
and it's a questionable decision. This guy should be, kicked out of the league, to be honest with you. But if that's not the rule. He can come back and get a second chance, and I'm all for second chances. But if I'm the Bears, I wouldn't do it. But I understand where the Browns are coming from because of his connection with the GM there. And the Browns haven't won in so long. They are just killing to finally get in the playoffs and be relevant again. And they finally had a good season. It's a questionable, controversial signing, no doubt. But I see where they're coming from. I see why they did it. I don't agree with the ethics of it. But from a football standpoint, it was a smart move.
Would you have done it?
I wouldn't have done it now, but like I said, he'll be a free agent at the end of this upcoming season, or I should say next season, again, if he keeps his nose clean and, you know.
There could be a bidding war.
There you go.
All right, we got to take another timeout. We'll come back. More to do from Arizona. Don't forget, we will have this show again here tomorrow and then three straight, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at Glendale at White Sox at Camelback Ranch. Plus, Bulls still trying to lose for Zion Williamson. We'll talk about that coming up.
Cubs authentic fans. The My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Do you know someone who's a Bulls authentic fan? We want to hear from you. Share your stories. Nominate a Bulls super fan for their chance to become our next authentic fan of the game. Enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/BullsAF. Lowry Marketing just found an authentic fan. They start him young there on the west side of our great city at 1901 West Madison. Now, that arena hopes that Zion Williamson calls it his home arena after the NBA draft this coming June. He made maybe the best shot block I have ever seen in a win at Virginia the other day. I don't know if you guys saw that block shot.
I did.
That was insane. Yeah. His abilities are just sick.
Yeah, I mean, how tall is he?
6'7".
He's not 6'7". I mean, I know he is 6'7", but what he does, and when he blocked that shot, I figured he was 8 feet tall. That's the kind of wingspan and the
props
that he had. I could not believe it.
You know what it looked like? It looked like he was on an escalator and he kept going up, yeah. up. I mean, that was phenomenal.
What
phenomenal.
He would do for basketball for the Bulls in this city would be insane.
What I would do for that athleticism would be insane, actually.
Yeah, no shot.
No, I'm no shot. No, absolutely not. No, I can't even touch the bottom of the net.
Okay, do you want to – the Bulls are probably a better team because of Otto Porter.
They are a better team with Otto Porter.
Okay, is that a good thing?
Well, not if you want Zion Williamson, it's not, obviously. And, you know, I got to laugh because you said that the Machado thing, you're going back to December 20th.
Yeah.
Well, December 21st was the last time the Bulls won a home game. So that's how long it's been. It's 10 losses in a row, a franchise record. I'm almost, sorry that I'm not going to see tonight's game because I think Milwaukee has the MVP. I know James Harden has been fantastic this season, historically with the numbers, but the Greek Freak is my MVP of the league.
Yeah. And okay, then he's living proof you don't have to pick at the top of the draft.
Correct.
He was the 14th pick in the first round.
But how often does that happen? I mean, that was a rarity.
Klay Thompson at 11, Steph Curry at 7.
Okay. Jimmy Butler at 28.
Jimmy Butler at 30.
All right, I'm walking off the show. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Tom Brady in the sixth round.
199.
Had to throw that in there.
I mean, they're out there.
I know it happens, but...
He's a generational, though, player. Zion Williamson. I've talked to too many people. Yes. I've talked to... A lot of the Bulls players, Jabari Parker,
LeBron
Wendell
took
Carter,
with
they played with
Rich
them.
Paul took a private jet to see them play.
That was
Virginia
impressive.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
Please,
I guess I know who's
going
to represent him. All right, we are out of here. Back tomorrow, here all week, and then in Glendale, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thanks to our panel. Have a wonderful evening. Dodge those snowflakes back there. We'll see you tomorrow.